In 2014, Ventura County Animal Services became the largest no-kill open admission municipal shelter in California. But sustaining no-kill is not easy. On Saturday, September 12th, animal lovers from the County of Ventura will come together to raise money for homeless animals by attending the Canine Casablanca Gala at the World War II Museum in Camarillo. The evening will feature a 40s-themed gala with silent and live auctions, dinner, dancing, and over a dozen Hollywood celebrities. For tickets and more, visit their website at vcas.us/gala.
DeVall Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai, and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
Welcome to The Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for The Brighter Side of Recovery on The Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery, where we talk about anything that you're waking up to in life. Sherry, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah. I'm great. I'm just so happy to be here.
Well, good. I know you got some things you're working on, and what's going on in your life?
Oh my God, so much. We're working on a recovery summit where we're going to be interviewing 16 addiction experts, professionals, therapists, people that understand addiction and beyond. It's going to be a big event, and I'll see all kinds of posts on my Facebook page, Sherry Gaba. I don't have the exact link right now, or I would put it out there, and it's not live yet. But just look for the links at Facebook, Sherry Gaba.
There you go. All right. Well, I do want to remind you of our 6 to 7, 7 to 8. We've got two completely shows where we talk about the brighter side of life. And then, of course, our recovery show here where we talk about the brighter side of recovery. And, of course, we always want to start off with a positive thought for the day. And you can't spell challenge without change. And if you're going to rise to the challenge, you have to be prepared to change. Do you agree with that, Sherry?
I think that change is one of the hardest things. Everybody wants change, but they're not willing to transform.
Yeah, it's like, okay, tomorrow, right? Tomorrow. I mean, it's like you gotta, you know, I have to admire one of my sons. He always, we're like, he's leaving again. And I said, are you going to go to dinner with us tonight? Depends on what time I get done with the gym. He is dedicated.
He's disciplined. Well, the way to make change happen, it's repetition. I mean, that's sort of why the program works. It's repetition, repetition, repetition. The more you do something, the more it's in your brain, the more you're going to do it. I remember taking this course with Bob Proctor, the Law of Attraction, the person from the movie The Secret, and it's all about, like I said, repetition. Otherwise, it leaves your mind. Till this day, he still reads the book Think and Grow Rich. It's all tattered and it's fallen apart, but every day he sits down and he reads that book. So anything that you keep doing develops into a habit. So why not create some great habits?
I love it. There you go. All right. Well, I do want to talk about our show today. One, I want to thank Soba Recovery Center for sponsoring our recovery show here. And of course, they are growing and they are everywhere. And if you need Soba in your life, Sherry, you know, do you want to tell us the number there and how we get in touch with them?
I would be happy to talk about SOBA. It would be my pleasure. SOBA is known for its community. They are known for long-term recovery. They now have a ranch in Texas, SOBA, Texas. They also are in Malibu. They have non-12-step programs. They're in Arizona. They have college recovery. They sort of have a program for everyone. We always talk about, you know, recovery is not a one-size-fits-all. You can reach them at 866-435-0504, 866-435-0504.
There you go. All right. Well, I do want to reach out to everybody out there, and I do want to remind you that to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. You can hear all of our shows on our podcast. All you have to do is go to podcast on your smartphone. And are they all smartphones? Is there a dumb phone? I don't know. Is that the is
I
that
guess
protocol?
An iPhone yeah. is a smartphone.
Yeah. The droids, the iPhones yeah, are the smartphones. Anyways, the other ones
smartphones
are
the general yeah. term. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I heard something the other day. I was like, do we still have to say flat screen TV? Do I have to say smartphone? I don't know. Tom, you always think about you're smart like that, right?
Well, I think some people just still go old school and just have the old flip phones. Every once in a while.
I have a friend that has a flip phone, and she tried to get through the airport with that flip, because now everything is
censored.
Censored, exactly, and she couldn't get through.
Yeah. Well, so anyways, our shows are all downloadable. All you have to go is to Kim Pagano's show and sponsor and subscribe, and you'll be able to hear our shows and take us everywhere you go. Again, I do want to say thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of the 805, our recovery show. And again, I want to remind you of our morning shows from 6 to 7, 7 to 8, where we talk with completely different guests on all of those. Today, this afternoon, we're going to be talking with Beverly. And we're going to be talking with Beverly Connors, and she's going to give us some advice on how to cope with dealing with an addicted lover, loved one. Also,
what's on your mind?
I know, lover, huh? Yeah, I'm telling you. But also joining us today is Todd Bridges, and he's going to be talking about his quest against drug and alcohol abuse. Again, our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 805-419-0008. We are always here for your questions, and if you have somebody that you're either dealing with, you are addicted, you have any problems that you're dealing with, we want to hear with you. I want to share these great people with you that I can point you in the right direction. So with that, and do you agree, Sherry?
And what's so great about this show is we're looking at the brighter side of recovery. We're looking at the hope and the healing. We're also looking at the families. Often, we have so many rehabs out there, which is fantastic. There's a million places from addicts to go to, but you know there are very few places for the families to go to. And so what makes the Kim Pagano show or the Brighter Side of Recovery show so amazing is that we are here helping and supporting the families, and I want them to know they can call us, they can leave a message on your hotline number.
805-419-0008. Of course, on our show, we always love to give back, and Tom, do you want to talk about that?
Great, great restaurants. Let's start there. We do have certificates for Dickie's Barbecue Pit, The Veggie Grill, Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill, Pete's Breakfast House, $25 for Paul Martin's Lure Fish House, BJ's Restaurant, Famous Dave's Barbecue, Lazy Dog Cafe, Midtown Cafe, and The Habit.
I wish you all could see how cute Tom is when he reads those off.
There you go.
Oh, my God. He's like going like this, and he's, well, you can't see what I'm
doing. I do a little bit of this.
He's moving his little boobs, and, there you know, man. I mean, he's just.
This is how I roll when I read.
Well, I think, yeah. Are you getting into like a, what are you getting into?
I'm doing
mood?
The yes and. I'm doing
yeah,
some
improv.
Yeah,
he's very here. Motivated. Okay. Yeah.
And
motivated.
We have more. Watch
That's right.
me go.
Okay. Yeah.
Rubicon Theater Company presenting Copenhagen.
Oh,
this is huge. All the way up to September 27th. We have the chili cook-off that is happening tomorrow. What a great party that is. And it supports some wonderful causes at the Camarillo Ranch House. So let's see all out to that one. The Big Jamboree at Borderline. And that's fun for the Big Brothers and Big Sisters of Ventura County. That's happening September 11th. Laugh Out Loud Comedy with Jason Love. He's a very funny local guy. And then we go to the Beach Boys It's the show of shows. Boy, if you want to sing along, it's the place, September 25th at the TOCAP.
There you go. Thank you so much, Tom. All right. And, of course, I want to do a shout-out. One, we talked about the Camarillo Chili Cook-Off. That is all about Camarillo Hospice. And that's tomorrow. That's September 6th, 11 to 4. If you are going to stay in town for Labor Day weekend, this is going to be a great place to head out to. We've got beer, car show, Texas Hold'em poker tournament. We've got fun and games for your kids and live music with the Heartache Tonight and Caught Red-Handed. So definitely get over there to the...
Some sober fun, too,
yeah,
for those of you
yeah.
that are listening. You know, have
it's
some
all
fun.
Good. Yeah, that's what it's all about. And it's for a great cause. Hospice. Yeah.
Right.
Another thing, and I know you are really passionate about this, but if you are an animal lover or you just want to support Ventura County Animal Services, they're actually having their first annual gala, and that is September 12th, 5 to 10, and that's over at Aviation Drive in Camarillo. And what you are supporting is a no-kill, and they are their largest, which is amazing, and that just makes me so happy. So all of the proceeds will go to that, and they're helping actually to make a puppy playground since there's no kill anymore. So what a great
How
cause.
Cute.
So yeah, so I would
I
love
don't know what
everybody.
That means, no kill anymore.
They don't they don't kill them anymore. I mean, it really means what it means, right?
So where do they go when there's too many that are no longer?
No, they adopt them out.
They adopt
That's why they
out.
Need more room
wow.
now. Correct? Yeah, and they actually, they have so many services. They were just on our show. They had so many services. If you have a problem dog, they don't want you to give it up. They want you to learn how to take care of your dog.
So many animal lovers out there.
I love my animals. So anyways, yeah. Let's bring our first guest on, and let's just start off with a giveaway really quick. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And you know what we're going to start off with? How about Copenhagen tickets? And that's over at the Rubicon, one of my favorites over there, September 2nd through the 27th. And we've got tickets for you. Call in right now, 419-0008, 419-0008. We'd love to get you over there. Beverly, is it Conyers?
Conyers,
welcome, and thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and who you are.
I'm a mother of three grown children, and my youngest daughter, who's now in her 30s, was addicted to heroin.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Years. Yes, thank you. And it was shocking when I found out about that. And
I didn't believe
it would happen in my family.
Of course, we never do. And
no.
I'm sure you're an amazing mom. You have an amazing family. You have your morals. But somehow your children found the wrong friends, correct?
Somehow she got into something that was more than she could handle.
Correct.
I think, you know, when you're very young and you want to try different things, you think that you're invincible.
This is so true. And did she have a depression before? Was there something?
She did.
Okay. So so she was searching in her life, and she went down the wrong road.
Right. She was self-medicating, as they often do, and she ended up getting into heroin.
Well, you know, I can't wait to get to your book. Hi, Beverly. This is Sherry Gaba.
Hi, Sherry.
And I'm excited to have you on the show, and I know you're going to have an article coming up in Recovery Today magazine. But the thing I want to get to just right from the get-go is, you know, relapse and still being able to stay in love and faith. When someone you love, you know, gets sober, they've been a chronic relapser. This is kind of a big issue for me right now. I'm talking a lot about mm-hmm. staying in the love, staying in the faith,
mm-hmm.
and staying in the trust mm-hmm. without living in the fear. So what are your thoughts about that?
I think that, relapse, I think, is one of those things that haunts all of us who love an addict, because we know it can happen. We're told it's part of the process. Most people who are in recovery have experienced relapse at least once. Before, you know, at least once in the recovery process, and many of them many times over. And I really think that relapse, we can choose how we're going to react to it. We can, cry and you know, become overwhelmed and despair about it, or we can just look at it, accept it, that this has happened, it may happen again, it's not the end of the world, and we can go on and our loved one can get back on track.
You know what's interesting to me, Beverly, is one, as a parent, you never stop loving.
Never.
But in a relationship, there's a lot of anger and there's a lot of resentment that's built up because you're trusting your partner, this person that is, you know, the same age as you, maybe older, maybe younger, but you're trusting them to do the right thing and they've chose something wrong. That's when I think the challenge is. And I know, Sherry, you've been talking a lot about this.
Yeah, I even put a big Facebook post. I just actually went and put a big Facebook post about this idea of trust. I even put my ex-husband up.
I saw that.
And I kind of asked
him first.
That
was very brave.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, but it's real. And well, that's what,
you
know.
Thank you, Kim.
Yeah, it's real. And I know that you have never given up on him. And that's huge.
Well, you have no idea how hard that is in our community because you'll be called enabling. And there were times when I was enabling. So
or
I'm not going to say I did it perfectly.
Yeah, no, but there is no rules.
There are no rules. I just want to really, my dream in life, my passion is to take the stigma out of loving an addict, whether they're your child, ex-spouse. He's an ex-spouse, and I still support him. And, I'm just always hopeful. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think that, first of all, I think if you love someone, you love them no matter what. But I do believe that there comes a point where we have to suspend our trust a little bit just for self-preservation. I mean, we can say for today, it's good or it's not so good, and not project that it's always going to be, whether it's good or bad. I mean, just live in the moment. And if it's not good at this moment, we can keep in mind that it can change in the future. But I don't think we can set ourselves up continually. If we don't have too many expectations, then we don't get so disappointed. If we can just accept that their journey is their journey, we can't control it, and we need to really focus more on our own journey.
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I think that that's hard to say is you know, obviously as a parent or even as a spouse,
right.
We do have expectations. We have to. I get that if it's not happening, you have to have boundaries so that you can savor yourself and your, you know, that kind of thing. But how would you not have expectations?
I think that this is something I've struggled with, too, trust me.
Yeah, and I'm sure we all have.
And I don't have a definitive answer. But I have a friend who said to me once, I don't have expectations anymore because they always get me in trouble.
Mm.
And she's really learned to live one day at a time. And she's dealt with the chronic relapse of her daughter. And so when her daughter's doing well, she's happy about it, but she lives in the moment. She doesn't expect that it's going to last forever.
I have a great word, a great saying that I was once taught called guarded optimism. Guarded, I mean, isn't that great? I don't know if you ever heard that, Beverly Hill, but but it's really just an amazing way to look at it. You're sort of, it's sort of a balance way of looking at it. So you've written a book now mostly for women or about women?
Yes, my third book is targeting women who are in recovery.
And it's called?
The Recovering Heart.
The Recovering Heart.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
And now, so how many books have you written?
This is my third one.
Wow.
So the first one I wrote was inspired, basically, when I realized my daughter was addicted to heroin, I was so overwhelmed that I didn't know anything about addiction, and I just wanted to understand it. And so that was really focusing on, you know, talking to addicts, what got them into it, how did they find recovery, what was it like for them, and other family members. Because I used to go to a Nar-Anon meeting it was like my salvation. If I didn't have that meeting to look forward to every week, I don't know how I would have got through it. And it was so wonderful. And I wanted the book to be like a meeting and that so that people reading it could hear other voices.
Beverly, isn't it that you just don't want to feel alone? right?
Exactly.
Yes, you just don't want, you want to know that, oh my God, what did I possibly do wrong? And you realize there is nothing. It's a journey that your daughter had to take. You know, we need to take a really quick break. Will you stay with us, Beverly?
Sure.
Okay, when we come back, I want to ask you how your daughter's doing and where your life is at now.
Oh, thank you.
All right. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And again, our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. If you have a question or you want to make a comment, we want to hear from you. I do want to remind you that we do have a newsletter that goes out every single week. All you have to do is call up and let us know that you want to be a part of that. That's the only place that it's going. You'll find out about all our guests, all the books that we recommend, everything that we've got happening here on The Brighter Side of Life and Recovery. I do want to give a giveaway right now, and I would love to do, let's see, what do we have here? How about the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Night. That is September 16th at Paseo Camarillo Cinema, and that's at 7:30. We'd love to give somebody a pair of tickets, 805-419-0008, 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Biodental Healing is not your ordinary dental office. We believe in a different approach to dentistry. Holistic dentistry. Holistic dentistry aims to help you enhance the overall health of your mind, body, and spirit through the power of alternative dental care. Experience our VIP touch, including removal of dangerous mercury fillings with extreme safe, protective protocols. We even match your body with the ideal filling materials personalized for you. Located just off the 101 in Newberry Park, schedule an appointment today with Dr. David Villarreal. Call 805-375-2233. That's 805-375-2233.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. I do want to remind you that we do have shows from 6 to 8 every Saturday morning. And we would love you to join us. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, our podcast. We have all our shows on podcast. I have to go to Kim Pagano Show and subscribe there. Our newsletters, you're going to find out about Sherry, myself. Jennifer's not here today. She's bringing her kids back to school. It's very traumatic. This is like, you know, that back to school week where all the teachers start meeting. And I, anyway, so, definitely we all want to hear from you out there. And we'd love you to win some of our prizes that we've got going on here. I'd love to give you guys a couple gift certificates to the Veggie Grill. Have you ever eaten at the Veggie Grill?
I love the Veggie
Grill. Oh, my God, so good. Anyways, I'd love you to get those in your hand. Call us right now at 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We're talking with Beverly Conyers right now. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Good. And we're talking about addicted loved ones. Also joining us today is Todd Bridges. And we're going to talk about his, you know, he's a committed activist against drug and alcohol. We're going to find out a little bit about his past history, his journey. And that's where we talk about it's real. It's real. It's what we're doing here. We're trying to make some changes to our world, and we're trying to be here so that you have a place, the family, the, you know, whoever it is that's going through anything, that we can try and find the need for you to find somebody. And Sherry, that's what you do. I mean, you are a therapist, correct?
I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and I'm a certified recovery coach. I do a lot of things. I do the show with you. I do the Recovery Summit. You probably by Saturday can go to recoverytodaysummit.com, recoverysummit.com, and you'll see 15 amazing guests. Then we have a magazine. Kim has been a part of that, or will be a part of that. That's the Recovery Today magazine. Recovery Today, go to recoverytodaymagazine.com, recoverytodaymagazine.com, and you can get the app. But the whole thing is about helping the addicts, the alcoholics, their families, and touching on, you know, all those seemingly harmless habits that we don't always look at as an addiction. Some of those things like online and gambling and shopping and food addiction and so forth. But what I love today, our guest Beverly is going to be talking about women in sobriety. And, you know, I was reading an article that, you know, with all the fancier drinks today, there's been sort of an increase in alcoholism, and women don't even realize they're drinking alcoholically. And the stress of women today are, you know, we've always had stress, but there seems to be, you know, the I do it all kind of thing where I'm the mom and I'm the breadwinner. And you remember that old commercial, we'll be dating ourselves. But, you know, women and alcoholism, I'd love Beverly to speak on that.
There you go. All right. And I do, we were coming back with Beverly Conyers. And Beverly, I wanted to find out, one, where you are, where's your daughter, how's she doing? And can you share that with us?
I can. My daughter's doing amazing.
Oh, thank God.
She has struggled with addiction for 15 years.
How old is she?
She's 36 now.
Okay.
Yeah. And she had a rough go of it. I mean, she was out
How
there.
Old was she when she started in heroin?
She was around 20 or 21. Yeah, it went from pot and LSD to cocaine, crack, and then heroin.
Right, wow.
And then after that was alcohol and benzos.
And did any of your other, you said you had other daughters?
I have two other children, yes, a daughter and a son, and neither of them has any issues at all with addiction.
You know, it's interesting because I have had some of my children have addictions in high school, that kind of thing. How did they react to her? Were they supportive or were they angry?
They are 6 and 7 years older than she is, so they were, you know, out of the house and had kind of started their own life, and so they don't live right in this community where my daughter and I live. So they were out living their own life, and so they were saddened, but they weren't
affected.
The addict behavior. Every
correct,
day.
Correct.
And I think that when siblings or other family members see that addict behavior, they can become very angry and frustrated.
Very.
So why women? Why women now?
Why did I write about women now?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Partly because of my daughter's experiences in recovery. I was really interested in that. And because of the stigma. My daughter was a prostitute.
Mm.
And that's an awfully painful thing for a parent to say and for a woman herself to admit. But I talked to many women who were out there being, you know, prostituting themselves, putting themselves in life-threatening situations.
You know, I just have to say
recovery.
Something. Beverly, I just want to thank you for being so honest. I know how brutally hurtful this is to, you know, be honest with this.
It's devastating.
Yeah. How did you find it in your heart to really be able to deal with this and to share this with the public? Because there's things that have happened in my life. I still can't really bring that all out to the open yet. But
right.
How did you
right.
do that?
Well, Beverly, I just want to say one thing. There's no accidents here because, you know, I look forward to the day that Kim shares a little more about her own story because I know that there's so much there that we can learn from Kim's wisdom and the family dynamics that she'll be able to share. But
mm-hmm.
that's a personal choice, and it takes time. But I think you are completely brave to be just to say what you said is what people just need to be real. Like, this is real. Like, when I look
I
at Facebook,
I couldn't have said it without crying.
Right.
You know, even a year ago, probably.
I mean, look at Facebook. Everything's about, ooh, love, joy, and we have all these friends, and we're so happy, and we're doing this, and we're doing that. And I got to tell you, not everybody has that life.
Right.
No. And that's one of the things that I learned is that, you know, as a result of my daughter's addiction, is that you can see someone in the grocery store and think, oh, their life seems so perfect, and mine is so horrible. You don't really know.
Hmm.
You don't know why anyone is dealing with at any given moment.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. It's so true.
It's so true. And we still have to find a way to go on and to live our lives, you know, with some dignity and compassion.
Right. And now, are you married?
I am divorced.
Mm. And was that because of that?
No, it wasn't. We were divorced before her addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I felt like that played a role in it.
Okay.
She was really hurt by that.
Yeah. And so what's the hardest thing about dealing with an addicted loved one?
Oh, there's so many things that are hard about it. For me, it's watching the struggle and trying to be supportive without enabling or trying to take control, because when I try to take control, she gets upset because she takes that as me saying,
You're not good enough. Or, yeah.
You're not good enough. I don't trust you. Let me show you how to do it. So to see her struggle, to see her pain, and to remember to be supportive without being enabling, and then just letting, it's something I struggle with to this day.
Beverly, is she still doing drugs?
No, she's on Suboxone, actually.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, that's a whole show we should have.
Well, actually, we're going to have her on. There's a lady that we're going to have on that just went to fight, and I hope I'm saying this right, where they have a chance to get, if they're having an overdose, that they have there's a shot,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the lady she's coming on. So I've been working towards, because out here in Ventura County, heroin is, it's outraged.
It's the same thing across the country. I mean, even Hillary Clinton's talking about it on the presidential level. It is in the suburbs. It's in the small towns. It's in, the communities that never saw it before.
Explain what Suboxone is, because not everybody knows.
Suboxone is a, it takes away, it has something to do with the receptors, the opioid receptors, so that it takes away the craving, and if they do take an opiate, they would get very sick.
Mm. So it's almost like what methadone was. It's a way to get off.
It's the same thing. It's a different.
Different chemical. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. I wish I could intelligently explain it, and I should be able to since I'm a therapist, but I'm not a psychiatrist, and I think addictionologists would be better describing it. And for many young people, I'm a big proponent of it. For anybody really, but for young people in particular, because it's so hard for them to stay sober. So I kind of call it the middle of the road option. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it should be forever, but again, mm-hmm. I'm not a medical doctor, so I can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. Beverly, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And our phone number here is 805-419-0008. We're real. We're getting real. We're talking about topics that you don't always hear about, but you want someplace to turn. And I thank you so much, Beverly Conyers, to being here, and writing about it. And it's your own personal journey. Is your daughter working now? How is she? Is her life working for her?
Her life is, I don't know, it should be a movie.
Is her life manageable?
She's managing her life. She lives on her own. She has her own apartment. She pays her bills. She is working. She actually went to school and completed not an associate's degree, a 10-month certificate program. And this has all happened in the last 4 years or so.
How old is she?
36.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So my question to you is, does she have any regret the life that's happened to her?
She has a lot of shame, and I think that's one of the things that lead to relapse is shame, because, she did things that she feels terrible about, and her self-esteem has taken a beating. And one of the reasons that I wanted to write about women in recovery was the stigma for women, I do think, is worse than for men, because women, first of all, we're harder on ourselves than men are. We're so self-critical, and society expects so much of us. And when we fall down like that, I think that there's a stigma that that makes it really hard to accept that this is something we've done and that we're still a worthwhile person.
Wow.
And that's where forgiveness comes in, radical forgiveness.
And self-forgiveness.
That's what I mean by radical forgiveness.
Yeah.
Okay.
But not only that is, Beverly, I want to just commend you as one mom to another mom, that you have stuck by her. And how does she feel when she knows that you're talking about her, that you're trying to help other people through her?
I've never given her name publicly. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that I've never felt like that was my right. I've always protected her.
Right.
Privacy.
Correct. And I respect that. Well, can you leave us with a couple thoughts of things that, one, warnings for other families out there, things that have helped you in your life, and just really looking at the brighter.
And how they can find her work.
Yeah.
Your work.
When you say warning, did you say warning for
yes.
other families?
Yes.
Like warning signs?
Correct.
Oh, I think that's so important. I overlooked so many obvious signs, just willfully blind, because I think I couldn't face it. So I think as soon as you have a suspicion, you should confront it. And even if they deny it, denial is part of addiction. If you have a suspicion, I think you really need to jump in there and do everything you can to get them into treatment.
To get them into a treatment.
Yes.
Okay.
I just don't think you can act too quickly on that.
Right. And you know, again, it sounds like obviously you did do that, but there was some, you know, it's hard. It's hard to think that your child isn't doing the right thing.
Oh, so. It's so hard, and it was so unthinkable to me.
There you go.
It was just
Beverly,
unthinkable.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. I'd love to have
you
back.
Thank you, Beverly,
and thank you so much for being here on the Kim Pagano Show.
Be part of it and keep up the good work. Well, I know it's so important for people to hear this.
Well, thank you, and please share our show with everybody.
I will.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.
All right, we are going to move right on to our next guest, and Todd Bridges, welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of recovery.
Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, and we're so glad to have you here. Tell us a little bit about, we're going to just jump right on in. One, everybody knows you from all your shows and your life, and I'm so thankful that you are committed to against drug and alcohol abuse, correct?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's
yeah.
For sure.
But what changed you? Who are you? And Dan, and what, you know, what, tell us kind of the deep part of Todd Bridges.
Well, for me, it was, you know, one more time the same thing over and over again, trying the same thing, expecting different results, and it didn't happen, you know? And then I realized, the more recovery you get, the more you realize that the fault really lies with yourself. And no matter what you've gone through, you can't blame anybody. You got to accept responsibility for it. Once you can accept full responsibility for it, you can get sober. Not that difficult at that point.
Hey, Todd, this is Sherry.
How are you?
Good. We spoke just before we did an interview a few months back with Recovery Today magazine. I'm sure you remember. So how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
We're so grateful to have you today. You know, you keep going out there and sharing your message of hope and healing. And I know you were doing something in Las Vegas at the time, so I want to make sure you tell us what you're up to these days. But I know you also have a book, and, you know, I know you have I think you have one child?
Two,
okay.
A girl and a boy. My daughter is, she's 18. My son is 17. My son will be graduating. My daughter already graduated high school. My son's graduating this year.
So you know the love of children, and you know the love of family.
Well, the thing is that you don't really know what love is until you have a kid.
Oh, you got that right. Thank you very much for identifying
that. What love really is. Yeah, you find out what love is when you have a kid.
Let me ask you a question. When you were going through your problems in your life, were your parents there to help you, guide you through any of that?
Yeah, my mom very much so was, yeah.
Okay.
That's why I got the time I have today.
Okay.
I wasn't have, 22 years, I wasn't for my mom. She never gave up, but she never helped it, but never gave up.
So if you would have thought something that, and now being a parent, is there something that she could have done to stop you?
Of course. Most parents back in those days just told you not to do drugs or whatever, and they didn't explain to you why. And I think that's the bad conception of what parenting was back then. It was just don't do it. So we said so. No explanation of why not. Not explaining to us what could happen to us, the dangers of it, the addiction part of it. They didn't tell us that. It was just, you just don't do it.
Right.
You know, and I think that the better explanation you can, the better way you can explain it to your children, the more or less they're going to stay away from it. You know, they're like, oh, man, my dad told me that's going to be this, and I'm going to end up like that, and that's going to happen. You know, and my son, like, you know, that one told my daughter, so they don't do it. They're like, I ain't doing that. I don't want to get my life all messed up like that. You know, so, you know, it's the kids that are left alone. It's the adults that are left alone. It's people that want to blame, the blame game. Oh, it's because this happened to me. When you do that, you can't get healthy because you're never accepting any responsibility.
So let me ask you a question. People are always curious because you're a celebrity, you know, and I sort of think I understand what the answer is going to be. But really, in your mind, what is really the difference between being a celebrity addict and a non-addict? I mean, I think the only thing I can...
Being a celebrity addict is everybody knows your business.
Yeah, you're kind of like...
It's very difficult to recover because everyone's all in your life. Give you a chance to get healthy. And what happens is, you know, if you make a mistake, they're all over you. You know, they're chastising you. Yet those same people are dealing with the same situations, but no one knows.
It's like living in a fishbowl, right?
That part about it. Huh?
Living in a fishbowl.
Yeah. Oh, they always are.
Right.
You know, and that's where when you're dealing with recovery, you've had it for long enough. I don't care what people think anymore. Who cares what they think about me?
Oh God, absolutely.
It has to do what I think about me. What I think about myself.
How refreshing.
That's what it comes down to.
How refreshing. I do want to remind anybody that's tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We're talking with Todd Bridges. And
who's
Todd,
being so real,
I,
right?
You are.
I
love
is
that.
Real.
And I love that about you. What are you doing right now as far as work? What shows are you on? And tell us
in
all about
book.
Yeah.
I have a show in Las Vegas called Lovers or Losers.
Mm.
It's Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays and Saturdays. The game show for adults, and it's doing really good. It's a really good game show. It's a lot of fun.
So glad to hear that's going on still. That's from a few months ago. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's doing great. It's going on strong. It's doing really well, actually. And then, you know, I'm still on all those rerun shows. I'm still on Everybody Hates Chris, World's Dumbest, and Different Strokes is rerunning again. So a whole new audience is being attached to Different Strokes. And a lot of parents are very happy their children are watching those shows because so many shows are showing too much for children.
I know.
And they want to go back to the basics again for children, you know, which I think is true. I think too much information for a child is not good.
Right.
He needs to be fed information the right way to learn proper morals, proper values. That's why we have so many kids that are bad today, because they're not taught how to respect older people or how to respect, you know, somebody's mom. They're not taught that anymore.
I know.
You know?
Do you think it's because we don't spank? I just had this this talk with my dad the other day. Do you think it's because...
I'm not getting involved in that, but I will say this. I will tell you this. Ever since that's been gone, And they took prayers out of school, we've had a number of problems in school.
This is true. I just think we need a different kind of respect. And I think that our kids aren't respecting us. I mean, yes, we've given them permission to be heard and have their feelings, but it doesn't mean that they can't be respectful.
And it's living in a technology society. Not only do they have their heads in their cell phone and their texting, but so do the parents. I hear a lot about loneliness of kids where their parents are just unconscious because they're not available.
Yeah. What's your thought on that, Todd?
I do think with all my kids all the time. And also, you know, me, I believe in spanking, and the legal way was with an open hand on the butt 3 times. That's the legal way, you know, in California. You can legally do that. So legally, my kids got spanked a couple times. And I tell you what, you know, they respect people. People with kindness and they're nice people.
Nice.
When people meet my kids, they go, "Why are your kids so nice?" I'm like, because I raised them that way.
Good
you know,
for
and me,
you.
And me and his mother, my son's mother. It took my daughter a little while because I didn't raise her as much as I did my son. But my daughter finally came around too because she started listening to what I was telling her. You know, and I told her, I said, "No one's going to respect an unruly person." I go, and people who are not disciplined, you're not going to be able to hold the job. You're not going to be able to do anything. If you can't respect authority, you're never going to be able to hold the job.
I love that. That's
what a parent basically is. A parent is the authority figure in a child's life so that when they get a job, it's like your boss.
And what's interesting,
you got to respect your boss.
You know, it's funny.
You don't respect your boss, you're going to be fired.
People with the ism, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, Todd, because I just get so excited with this conversation. There's a lot of people that have the isms, don't respect authority. That's part of the disease of addiction.
And the other thing is that it's so many, if you hadn't said this to me, I wouldn't have had to hit you. What does that have to do with hitting me? You shouldn't hit me anyway.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it's like it doesn't matter what I said, it doesn't give you the right to hit me, or it doesn't matter, you know. Now, children, the thing about children is that they want to be disciplined. I mean, I've watched these kids walk around and just curse their parents out, but I will tell you this, I haven't seen many black kids do that. Black kids will get whacked in a minute. I've seen it happen. You know, I know I used to work at my son's school, and I used to tell black kids, I'm going to tell your mom. Don't tell mom, man. All right, I'll stop.
Wasn't that one mom that went on TV? She saw her son, and she's like, oh, my God, she went out there. That was brilliant. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And then I've seen some other kids, you know, and they, I'm going to tell your mom, and they go, so what? Tell her. I'm like, what?
They don't have any respect.
You're not afraid of your mom? And they're like, no. I'm like, I'm afraid of my mom. She's 75 years old. I still ain't going to do them wrong.
Yeah,
I watch my mom. I watch my P's and Q's. I watch what I say. Mm-hmm. You know, because I know my mom swinging at me. You know what I mean? She's 75 years old. I'm good.
That's awesome. Todd, I want to ask you, when you lost your dear friends and colleagues, Gary Coleman and Dana Blatto, what helped you get through that, the grief?
Well, for me, you know, I saw Dana's coming. Gary, I didn't see coming, but Conrad was the most difficult one.
Yeah.
And it just had the fact that people pass away.
Conrad was the father in the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's accepting people, places, and things and situations, period. People pass away. Everyone's not going to live forever.
Right.
And you got to come to that realization of it. It's painful. And it's hurtful, but it doesn't mean he's going to drive back using drugs and alcohol. No way.
Was he like a role model father? Was he like a role model father?
Yes, very much so. Mm. I'd say the toughest part was when I went through divorce. That was the toughest part.
Yeah.
I went to like five meetings a day during my divorce.
Oh, that's
that
nice.
That was the toughest part, you know, because I knew that safety was inside there. Safety wasn't outside. Safety was in the meetings. Mm. And I can go in there and keep sharing about what I'm feeling, and no one's going to say anything to me.
Right.
You know, and no one's going to say, stop sharing that. They won't say that. I can share that as much as I want to. And then they knew eventually I would stop when I finally, you know, got to process the feelings. You know, I didn't want to stay on by myself and try to process it. I couldn't do that. You know, and to this very day, me and my ex-wife are really good friends.
That's awesome.
Because I processed it the right way, she processed it the right way, you know, and we're good friends behind them because the ultimate goal is raising our child. So we don't let anybody get in the way of that. I wouldn't let any woman get in the way of me being friends with my ex-wife. She wouldn't let any guy get in the way of being friends with me. We're not going to let that happen. We have to communicate every day because we have a kid to raise, and we want to make sure we raise the best kid we possibly can. And everybody who meets my son, you know, and my daughter now, say that they're the greatest kid they've ever met. They go, how do you have two kids? Because they know that they might get a shoe fly out.
I love it. What does balance mean to you?
What is what? Balance?
Yes.
Balance means to me is being able to balance your life, but in every fraction. Like, for instance, balancing your checkbook, you know, that's easy, but balancing how you feel and knowing that, I mean, you may not feel good one day, but the next day you're going to feel just fine, you know, and being able to balance that out, you're not going to feel great every day. That's the bottom line. And you're not going to have a good mood every day. But knowing that the next day will be better can help you process it better.
What a great definition.
I think a lot of people think, like, for instance, they talk about, okay, well, they're depressed. Well, why are you depressed? Oh, depression's hit me. I understand that. But there's ways to help with depression. Exercise helps with depression.
Right.
Walking helps with depression. Doing things, but if you sit there in it, you're going to suffer. You got to get up and do things that helps with it. And, you know, and then if you know a person is really depressed, you don't ever leave that person alone because you know no telling what they may do.
You got to stay
with that person. You got to help that person. Get that person to the right place. You know, and it's like, you see these people with all this money and they're committing suicide, and you're like, what's going on? You know, and that happened to me about my best friend. He committed suicide a little over a year ago. And that was very difficult to deal with because he was my best friend and he didn't give anybody a chance to even talk to him.
Mm.
And he was fine. And then the day I talked to him, and the next day he turned around and did that. But he left a wife and two kids, and he did it in front of the wife. Now she's going to be scarred for life.
Oh, trauma.
And the kids are going to have trauma for life.
Right.
The bottom line is that everything he was preaching, and then he turns around and did that.
And was
and to
he?
To me, that act becomes selfish because
I was just going to say
you leave people behind that are going to suffer.
No question.
They're not going to get over that.
You're such an inspiration, Todd. You got sober at what age?
26.
I mean, being 26, and we reach a lot of young people. We know there's an epidemic going on out here in Ventura and all over. What can you say to one of those young people out there that are like, oh, there's no jobs, or look at the economy, look at ICES, you know, what's the point? I mean, that sort of victim mentality.
Well, the bottom line is there are a lot of jobs out there, but sometimes you have to take the little job to get to the big job. But you got to get a college education, which they've got all ways of doing that. You can't give up on life. If you're going to give up on life, then what if we all gave up? Where would we be today if we all gave up? Well, what if the guy at Microsoft just gave up? Said, it's too hard. I'm not going to do it. We wouldn't have computers. You know, what if the guy at Apple gave up?
It's
about not giving up. To me, the true meaning of failure is not to try. You got to keep trying and keep pushing and keep fighting till you get what you want. The bottom line is nothing comes easy,
right?
But nothing is too hard.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you're listening to The Brighter Side of Recovery, The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Todd Bridges. What a pleasure. And this is so refreshing. I have a question for you, though. Every time that we talk about addicts and addict mentality, does that re-identify you as an addict? Or how do you feel with that?
Well, I'm a recovering addict, so I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
I identify as an addict, but I'm a recovering addict. I'm not in the process of addiction anymore.
That's
so
awesome.
It's a big difference for me.
That's great.
If I was practicing, that'd be different, but I'm not practicing anymore because you can't win that. That's something you cannot win, and that's something that you have to surrender completely and give up defeat. You got to be defeated by it. If you're not defeated by it, you're never going to get sober.
That's true.
That's the bottom line.
I love it.
You cannot win. Mm-hmm. You will lose every single time. And I've never seen any successful drug addict. I just haven't seen it. and if they are successful, then they're the most miserable people you've ever seen in your entire life.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's nobody running around a happy drug addict. It just doesn't happen.
No. There's a reason why you're self-medicating. You're trying to get out of this world.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Instead of
just dealing with your feelings and emotions and processing them. And then when you learn to process them, you realize they're not that bad. They're actually pretty nice to process a feeling. When you get angry, you don't have to lash out at all. Anger is a good feeling. You don't have to lash out at someone because you're angry. You know, when you're angry, you just be angry. It's like, okay, I'm mad at that person, but I'm not going to lash out at him because I'm angry.
It's
not fair to that person.
It's a feeling that you don't have to, that you want to feel.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what is...
When you fight your feelings, that's when you're struggling with your your disease.
So what is the tool that worked for you that helped you learn how to respond rather than react?
Just start thinking about it and thinking about where it's going to take me and what's going to be the consequences of it and where I'm going to end up at later on, and then back raising my hand again saying I'm a newcomer. I ain't doing that no more. Are you crazy?
But the same probably goes with everything. It probably isn't just about picking up a drug. It's just about learning.
No. It's just in life itself. Mm-hmm. When you talk to people, and even if they've done something wrong, talk to them normally so they can understand you. Don't get angry or mad, because if they get angry or mad, then you get nowhere. You tell them how you feel. Like, you know something? You use the I instead of the blaming. You say, you know, when you did that, I felt really horrible, or I felt bad, you know, or I felt like this. I felt like, put all the feelings back on yourself. Then people respond differently. They're like, oh, I didn't know I said that and did that to you. Yeah, man, when you said that, I felt really bad. I don't know what to think right now. You know, and then they come back and tell you because they know how to process their feelings normally. There's a lot of people who do, but, you know, I don't think there's any normies left anymore. I don't think so. Everybody's addicted to something.
Normies. Really, for those who don't know what a normie is, although most people would because it's a recovery show, but the normie is someone who is not supposedly, quote, an addict. But I think what Todd is saying is, you know, we all got stuff, right?
We all got a bunch of bones in our closet that we're dealing with. We just deal with them a little betterly than, you know, a lot of us, you know, that went down those roads. But, you know, a lot of people have gone down those roads and they just haven't said anything, or we don't know about those roads they've gone down.
Yes.
You know, people are addicted to a lot of things, you know, gambling, video gaming, work, the workaholics.
Yes.
You know, I know a bunch of workaholics that work so many hours, they're killing themselves. I'm like, man, you need to relax and take a day off. And they're like, I can't, I need to do this. I'm like, wow, dude, you are addicted to working.
This is such
you can't stop.
Yeah, Todd.
You know, I remember my pastor saying one thing. I'll tell you this real quick. I remember my pastor telling me in church one time, saying to me that what you should never do is teach your family. You should teach your job which means that you don't need that extra $100 for that hour or hour and a half, but your family needs that hour and a half.
Oh, wow. That's such a big statement.
Well, there's a lot of people addicted to success, and it's all
that's
about,
exactly
and
right.
It's actually being, it's really, they're addicted to ego. And, you know,
that's
I think,
exactly
and I know
right.
I've been there, and I'm sure there's no
we
one sitting here.
We all have been here,
like,
yeah.
It's just never enough. Like, I'm not doing enough. And then you just have to slow it down. It's all about slowing
yeah.
down, and I'm learning to do that.
And you know what? We all have yeah. a gift that we bring to this world, and that's got to be enough right there.
Exactly.
Todd?
Yeah. Well, it's got to be enough inside of yourself. That's the thing.
So
if it's not enough inside of yourself, if you're doing everything you possibly can do and things aren't taking place that you want to happen, it's going to happen. You got to give it time. It's mm-hmm. going to happen eventually. But if you give up, then what good is it? You've gone through all that work and you give up? That's no good. You got to keep going until it happens.
And you are, you're walking the talk because, like, you had a whole hiatus there where you didn't have work. I mean, here you were, this childhood star.
But that work was because of me and then it was them.
No, what I'm saying is you basically didn't pick up. You were sober, and you still allowed the process to unfold, and eventually you became successful again, right?
Because he was always successful.
Right.
What I did was I went and got a regular job to see what it was like, and, because I wasn't ready to go back to show business, because show business, like I said, it's a business that's really rough because...
Yeah.
I can't say anything. If I say anything the wrong way, oh my God.
You're judged.
People are all over me and they're judged. We're not allowed to have our own opinions at all.
Mm.
We're not allowed to do that. That's why a lot of subjects we don't think on anymore. Because if we say anything wrong, Twitter's gonna bash us, TMZ's gonna bash us, all the news is gonna bash us because we had an opinion. Everyone's entitled to an opinion, but we have to keep ours to ourselves.
I'm sorry for that. This has been so real, and I am so glad to talk to you. I would love to have you back on, and thank you so much for all your amazing advice. It really is.
Amazing advice for kids and for parents and for everyone, just a lot above and beyond addiction.
Yeah,
really.
I really inspire where you are today, and thank you for sharing your story with us.
You're welcome, and to all the parents out there, remember, if your kids are, going the wrong path, never give them, getting them in recovery. And for all you kids out there, if your parents are going through it, don't give up on them. Don't give them, the parents, the same thing. Don't give them any money, but always lead them toward recovery. Just keep pushing them toward recovery. That's what my mom did for me. Leading me toward recovery.
Todd.
And I got sober.
Awesome. Aww, thank you. Again, Todd Rick Bridges. And thank you so much for being here on The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And we're going to end our show. The secret of being happy is accepting where you are in life and making the most out of every day. I mean, that really pretty much sums it up. So thank you so much and have a really great rest of your weekend. And we'll talk to you soon.